And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, our DDD devotional diamond of the day. I really want to call it go to the bank, take out a loan, but it's really just get a clue. Also, a wrench in the plan. That doesn't sound good. Not passing our own inspection, and you can count on me.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing politics. Wait, hold on. I'm pulling that out of my hand. Oh, no politics now. Entertainment and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Call us at 866-577-2473-866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It never has been and never will be. But it is radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but stand by for SRN News.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The attorney for a man who was dragged off a United Express flight for refusing to give his seat up at O'Hare International Airport has announced a settlement with the airline. United settled with Dr. David Dow, a Kentucky physician, for an undisclosed amount. Correspondent David Kerning reports United has released a report detailing mistakes that led to the April 9th incident.
They are on kind of an extended apology tour. They are introducing a bunch of new policies that they hope will reduce these kinds of tense situations after overbooking and maybe win some customer loyalty back that they have lost.
United says it will raise the limit to $10,000 on payments to customers who give up seats on oversold flights and will increase training for employees as it deals with fallout from the video. The White House has no problem with an inquiry into former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn.
Press Secretary Sean Spicer says there's no objection to a probe into Flynn's relationship with foreign governments.
That's appropriate. If they think that there's wrongdoing, then the department's inspector general should look into that.
Investigators will look at payments received by Flynn from Russia's state-sponsored television network and a Turkish-owned company linked to Turkey's government. Spicer says the president's decision to fire Flynn clearly paid off.
The president made the right decision at the right time.
Greg Clugston, The White House.
President Trump is also creating an office designed to ease some long-term problems within the Veterans Affairs Department, like accountability and protecting whistleblowers.
We will never, ever tolerate substandard care for our great veterans. With the creation of this office, we are sending a strong message. Those who fail our veterans will be held for the first time accountable.
On Wall Street, the Dow by 6 points, the NASDAQ rose 24, the S&P advanced 1, oil down to $48.97 a barrel. This is SRN News.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling. calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
For life's aches and pains, choose Blue Emu Continuous Pain Relief Spray. It works fast, and it's easy to use, designed to work odor-free in all those remote areas. It works here. It's odor-free here. It works here. Blue Emu Continuous Pain Relief Spray. Fast-acting, easy-to-use, odor-free pain relief for all those remote areas. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and other fine retailers.
For centuries, it's been called a land of promise. Today, it's a land of blessing. This year, come and experience for yourself the only place God called my land. Experience Israel this fall and celebrate Jerusalem's 50th anniversary. A once-in-a-lifetime trip awaits as you travel with AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, and Pastor Sean Thornton, host of All Things New Radio. Tour Israel like never before during 9 exciting days. You'll visit Galilee, the Jordan Valley, the Garden Tomb, and many such historic sites. Embolden your faith as you trace back the very steps of Jesus and experience firsthand the beauty of the Mediterranean landscapes, culinary delights, and return home with a renowned vision for your life. A dedicated team of passionate and knowledgeable professionals will lead this tour. 4- and 5-star travel accommodations will give you comfort and safety for the duration of the trip. For full cost and trip details, visit experienceisraeltour.com. That's experienceisraeltour.com.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Oh, boy. We got an interesting hour for you. We hope it's beneficial. We hope it's a blessing. It is most likely to be somewhat of a challenging. Please don't forget a couple of quick things. One, don't forget about our Pastor's Masters, the opportunity to play golf. It is May 8th. With our 7th annual, which, you know, that's what gets confusing. You say May 8th, which is a Monday, and then you go 7th annual, and they go, is it 8th, or is it the 7th, or is it 8th? Forget the word 7th. It's May 8th. It's golf. It's an outing. It's fellowship. It's fun. Everybody has a good time. Every once in a while, I go around, and either I'll be in front of a hole, and, oh, by the way, we got to get a best of for them, 8th. And then I got to be in front of a hole, or I'll drive around in a cart with a little recording thing, and I'll ask trivia questions that some pastors will know easily, and then some pastors won't know so easily. So, for example, what was the name of the donkey that Jesus rode into town on in Jerusalem? And the real answer is, was the pastor's thinking about his mind, is, it doesn't name him.
I was thinking, oh, the name of
there is no name. But you just, it's funny to watch a pastor scratch his head and go, which part is that?
They let you drive a golf cart?
No, actually. Funny you should bring that up. That is funny that you would just pick that one little part right there, Tugboat Todd. In fact, they drive me around not because I am special in any capacity. They drive me around because the insurance liability is less. That's why they do this. So if I drive, there's more of a cost involved. I did have an incident in Hawaii one time on a golf course, bringing the golf cart back as the sun was descending. You were supposed to have the golf carts back before the sun sets. And I did, in fact, get the golf cart technically back before the sun actually set. I didn't necessarily get the golf cart back on all four wheels, but I did get the golf cart back.
Hence, I have been labeled a dangerous golf cart driver. So, for those that want to know the rest of that story, I will never tell you. Let's get into our speaking, teaching, talking opportunity. It's called Get a Clue. Do we have a sound for this? All right, let's play that.
She's got to solve the mystery herself. Question everything. Get a clue. Get a clue.
That was really good. I like that. Get a clue. Let's start off with the very beginning. This will really rattle a couple of people in their soteriology, but, you know, that's all right. And it'll be okay. John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus said this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Now here's another example, John 15, 16, also John 16, 24, where Jesus tells us to ask in his name. So whatever you ask in my name, which is why people pray in Jesus' name, the Father will give you. But Jesus says something interesting. He said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you." And then you get some theologians. Now watch this, Todd. I'm going to break open a theological school right here in a way you've never seen. Some theologians will say, well, that's specific to the 12 disciples. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. If that's the case, then the Great Commission is also specifically just to the 12 disciples, or at that point, 11 disciples, because Jesus didn't speak it to the crowds, but spoke it to the 11. So I guess that just applies to them. Uh-oh, can't do that, can you? You can't say that, can you? Because if you just say the Great Commission's just for the 11, because, he was just speaking to the 12 disciples, right? And in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 20, he was just speaking to the 11. So does that just apply to them, or is the Great Commission for all of us? Oh, slam, microphone drop. Okay, so the idea here is that Jesus chose us. The idea that we picked God because we decided we wanted to have fire insurance is cute, but not realistic. And it's important to understand that difference. And also for us to understand something like Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Now, this Tugboat Todd will tell you I don't often quote the King James, but in this verse I do because it's fantastic. And here's what it says, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. "For it became him from whom all things, by whom all things are, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." That, by the way, captain of our salvation is Jesus. Why I love this portion? My brother wrote a song called Captain Salvation, which refers to Jesus Christ. And it comes out of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Captain Salvation. Isn't that great? Jesus is the captain of our salvation. It's really a good song. I have to kind of track it down. It's called Captain Salvation. It's really good. Anyhow, the point is, Jesus is the captain of our salvation. He chose us. We didn't choose him. I'm not sure at what point we lost the understanding, but Jesus is called the author and finisher of our faith. So I'm very bad at it. I've not done a good job at it, but I did put a book together. Guess who was the author of the book? I was. Guess what that means? I wrote it. I wrote the words. They might not all have grammatical excellence, but I wrote the words. Well, Jesus is the author of your faith. He wrote it. His grammar is perfect, since he really invented grammar. So the idea is to understand that Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. You didn't choose him. He chose you. You didn't wake up one day and said, "You know what? I need some fire insurance. I don't really feel like going to hell. I think I'll choose Jesus." It's not quite how that works. And Jesus is the captain of our salvation. He's the one in charge. You ever watch a football game? Ever? How many times is the quarterback often the captain? Not, you know, there's a captain on defense, a captain on offense. About 95% of the time it's the quarterback. Why? Because he's calling the plays. He's throwing. He's telling where the ball's going. He's telling where the movements are. You can get that. That's not a far leap for anybody. Why that's important is for us to understand that while salvation is a tremendous blessing, it is also a gift. And we know it's a gift, and we're going to talk about the gift part of it when we come back. But what I want you to catch is that God picked you. Now, did God make a mistake when he picked you? No, you're not really going to charge God with making a mistake, are you? I know you're not going to do that. But should you be thankful? Yeah. Did he pick everybody? No. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated? No. Romans chapter 9, 10, 11 talk about the reality that God does select. We don't know what all those selections are from start to finish, but God does. And he makes that selection, and he bases it on his wisdom, and it's not something that we get to participate in. What you do get to do is be thankful that the Lord picked you. And I told Tugboat Todd this week, I told him he had not heard this before. I said, you know, when people really get in my face and get really mad at me and start going off and start, you know, cursing on Jesus and stuff, I give them that one line. I'm sorry that God didn't pick you. Bummer. Because it's not my fault. I didn't start this program. I didn't create. This is a God program. He does what he wants. But he picked you. You're listening to my voice right now. Guess what? He chose you. You should be blessed. You should be honored that he chose you. He didn't have to choose anybody. It wasn't a requirement for God to choose anybody. It wasn't a requirement for God to create. There's nothing in him that said, I must make man. He decided to make man. So in that capacity, he creates us, and then he chooses those that he wants to spend eternity with. We don't fully understand, and no, we don't have all the information, but we do have this. He picked us. And then you'll have people, very few, by the way, that come and say, well, then why should I witness to anybody? Here's the answer. Because he tells you to, whether you like it or not. That's why. Because you're supposed to respond in obedience, because that demonstrates your love for him. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about salvation and the gift part of it. And I want to explain it, because I don't want people to miss. It's not just a gift. It's very legal in its processing. That's what we're going to look at. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
National and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Going up.
You just stepped into an elevator with one other person in it. Are you going to go with the awkward silence? Or are you going to make polite small talk?
Third floor.
What about when you have an opportunity to share your faith with someone? Do you go with the awkward silence? Or do you try to talk to that person about Jesus?
Fifth floor.
God knows it can feel awkward sometimes, but he still wants us to do it. That's clear from all the reminders he's placed in the Bible. Like in Psalm 96, he tells us to proclaim his salvation day after day. In 2 Timothy, he says not to be ashamed of the testimony about Jesus. And in 1 Peter, he reminds us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you about the hope you have in Jesus.
Seventh floor.
Sure, it might feel awkward sometimes, but you can do it, and we can help. Visit this website, findpeacewithgod.net. It's from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
This is Hugh Hewitt for townhall.com. The appointment of Justice Neil Gorsuch to the United States Supreme Court was President Trump's greatest achievement in his first 100 days in office. Now there are 20 vacancies on the federal circuit courts of appeals and hundreds on the district and special courts. But a huge obstacle stands in the way of the Senate confirmation process, the so-called blue slip. The blue slip is sent to the senators from the home state of every judicial nominee, allowing those senators to approve or veto the nominee. The blue slip isn't a law, and it would be anathema to our constitutional framers. It's a leftover of decades past, a means by which individual senators could control their region's judicial future. It will be up to Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Charles Grassley to seal his place in Senate history as a deeply committed constitutionalist. If Grassley rids the Senate of this practice forever, his place in the chamber's history will be secured as a leader who sought to rebalance the institution's practices in alignment with the framers' intentions. I'm Hugh Hewitt.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins shared his thoughts on how television news has changed since 2006.
People are shocked when I say, guess what network I was on the most, news network I was on the most prior to the election of Barack Obama. People say, well, Fox, of course. No, actually not. I was on MSNBC, followed by CNN, and actually I was rarely on Fox. And I wasn't all that crazy about being on Fox because I preferred CNN at the time because those were people that you could actually win over and convince. You know, I would go on MSNBC just to practice my sparring skills. But once Barack Obama was elected, MSNBC took a hard left, and CNN began moving in that direction pretty rapidly as well.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
When I'm searching for the rock, I'm not where I belong.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Just going over some songs with Tugboat Todd that my brother Billy did. He's done quite a few songs, some songs that will never, I don't think will ever be released. He did one called Father, My Father. It was super, super touching about when my dad was dying. So this is when I was 19 years old, long time ago. And it's all about, you know, my heavenly father and the earthly father. And, you know, it's like he just does this really, really big plea for my dad to kind of respond to the faith. That did not work, but it was a solid attempt, probably the best attempt that we could have got to.
Was that song so personal? Is that that's
super
why
he might do a re-release on it, but the only known recorded copy is in a cassette that I gave him as a birthday present, which he lost, which I found and then gave him as a birthday present. I don't know if it could still I don't know if it's still playable or. And then he's just, you know, he's told me he's just so busy with so many different things going on, which is good. But, you know, he's doing that new recording studio, plus he's doing some touring, plus he's doing all that stuff. So he's busy. And that's good. Although he blames me. So that's good, too. It's like a brother's revenge. It's like the way to get back at your brother is to have the Lord do it, and you just watch it and go, ha, 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 ha. So for me, it's kind of cool. All right, so we talked about salvation and the reality check that Jesus chose us, and we did not choose Jesus. Now, what I'm getting from that take is that the song went bye-bye. Is that what that is? It's a bird that flew away? What was that? Is that didn't, was it a no sound?
We always say the no sound song looks like a bird.
So. Yeah, there's no sound for this, right?
That's no sound.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Because then you started having your arms crossed and then flying away. I don't know where you were going. Anyway, going back to it. So Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the person who writes our faith, the author. That's what an author does. A finisher is a person who completes something. If you're not sure what a finisher is, think of baseball and think of the closer. What does the closer do? Closes the game. A one-run lead, pretty close game, want to keep it tight, nobody getting on, da-da-da-da, bring the closer. Well, Jesus is the closer of your faith. That's kind of a nice way to see it. Okay, I got it. Who doesn't understand that? So the system that God has set up for us to get saved is one of a unique one, not the normal systems by which we operate with. We tend to operate in performance orientation. And what that means is that we tend to reward based on performance. It is how our economic system is set up. So if you work a certain amount, you get paid a certain amount. If you work harder and you know, get more involved, you'll tend to get more for that effort. There's kind of a work for it, get it kind of mentality. It's not a perfect ratio, but it does exist. But in God's economy, things are quite different. And in his economy, we find out that salvation in and of itself, God choosing you, God starting your faith, God completing your faith, God being the captain of your faith, Jesus being the captain of your faith. Think about that. He's the captain. Hebrews 2:10 of your faith. We understand faith comes to us by this system. God says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now, one of the things that's really important, especially for evangelical, Bible-believing, born-again Christians, is their understanding that salvation is a not-by-works system. One of the primary reasons why works does not work is mathematical and practical. The mathematical part is that inside and out, every sin you've ever committed by thought, by inappropriate feeling, your entire life counts against you as moral debt. Jesus said if you look at a woman in your heart and lust after her, in your heart, you just committed adultery. The world comes back and says, oh, well, then everybody's in trouble. And Christians should come back and go, exactly. That's why you need salvation. That's why you need grace, because everybody's in trouble. And so if you just look at it and count it up together, I hope I can get through some of this, you'll find out that if you sin about 10 times a day in an 80-year period of life, you're sinning somewhere about 292,000 times, and you don't have 292,000 good works. So there's nothing you can say to me. I don't care if you're Mother Teresa on steroids. You don't have 292,000 good works. Not a reality check. So it's not by works, because mathematically it won't work, but it's also not by works, the scripture says, so no one can boast. The Lord won't allow salvation to be attained by effort, because you and I would grab a piece of pie in saying we participated and it was because of us. And God won't allow that. He won't let us take even a shoelace of credit for salvation, much like Abraham wouldn't give a ounce of a shoelace to the king of Sodom, because he said then the king of Sodom would say, I'm the one that made Abraham rich. It's like, no way. God's not going to do it that way. It is a gift, and a gift is something that is given, and a gift is something that is received, given and received. So that gift, I want you to understand the difference, is what we call imputed righteousness. Now, let me explain to you the difference between imputed righteousness and imparted righteousness. Big theological terms, right? Not so much. If Tugboat Todd is in the room and I say, I impart to you a quarter, then I deep dig into my pocket, grab a quarter, and put it physically in his hand. I have imparted to him a quarter. See, I took the quarter out of my pocket. I put it in his hand. I've imparted it to him. Cool, right? Number two, imputed righteousness, which is the righteousness that's in salvation, is righteousness that is credited. So if Tugboat Todd comes in the studio and I say, Tugboat Todd, I'm going to give you a quarter. And I reach into my pocket and grab a quarter and I put a quarter in his hand. And then I pull the quarter back and put it right back in my pocket. And Tugboat Todd closes his hand. I act like he's got the quarter. But he really doesn't have the quarter. But I'm acting that way. You got a quarter, dude. That's what imputation is. I've imputed it. So in other words, or in really, really easy terms, the righteousness that comes from God is a grant, not a loan. Got it? That's the best way. We're talking legalese. You're talking the full understanding. God gives you a grant. When you go to school, I'm in my schooling I got to do a collaboration thing tonight for listen to all this stuff and blah, 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 blah. And so the bottom line is part of what I'm doing in schooling, I have to take a loan for. Guess what? I have to pay some of that back. But there's another part where I have an act because I'm a 4.0. I get an academic grant. I don't have to pay that back. I never have to pay that back. So from that point of view, that practical point of view, the righteousness that God gives us is like borrowing Jesus's righteousness, but we never have to pay it back. That's what it is. And you think, well, that's overly simplified. If from my mouth to your heart, to God's eyes and ears, you could possibly grasp even one-tenth of what God is trying to tell all of us, which none of us seem to get, it'd be a miracle. It's a grant versus a loan. He gives you that righteousness because he's full of love and he gives it to you through Jesus Christ. It's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You don't earn in God's kingdom. You receive in God's kingdom from the righteousness salvation point of view. So that's how you think of it. Oh, well, God gave me a grant. I'll take it. Right. Because if you don't take it, you go to hell. So what are you going to do? You can take it. And the righteousness that comes from God comes to us quite simply, as the scripture says, comes through faith, and it's not from ourselves. It's a gift. It's like every day you wake up and you know you're saved, you just sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Because you're saved. And that's the gift of God. When we come back, I want to talk about what we do with the simplicity of the gift that God tries to grant us on a regular basis. We'll talk about that as well. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
The hometown advantage. It's up and down Main Street. It's also in the office downtown, the factory by the river, and the farm down the road. That's because most folks who work here love living here. They care about this community. They work hard to succeed, and that makes a difference. At HelpWantedSanDiego.com, we're proud to work our hometown advantage around the clock, connecting local employers to local job seekers. Post your job today on HelpWantedSanDiego.com. Local jobs that work. The hometown advantage. You see it in the shops and offices downtown, in our factories, schools, and farms. Jeff the accountant has it. So do Corey in IT and Amber, the vet tech. They found local jobs at HelpWantedSanDiego.com. It's where local employers find local workers like you, people who care about this community. Search jobs and apply online right now. Get the advantage of finding a job close to home at HelpWantedSanDiego.com. Local jobs that work.
Going up.
You just stepped into an elevator with one other person in it. Are you going to go with the awkward silence? Or are you going to make polite small talk?
Third floor.
What about when you have an opportunity to share your faith with someone? Do you go with the awkward silence? Or do you try to talk to that person about Jesus?
Fifth floor.
God knows it can feel awkward sometimes, but he still wants us to do it. That's clear from all the reminders he's placed in the Bible. Like in Psalm 96, he tells us to proclaim his salvation day after day. In 2 Timothy, he says not to be ashamed of the testimony about Jesus. And in 1 Peter, he reminds us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you about the hope you have in Jesus.
Seventh floor.
Sure, it might feel awkward sometimes, but you can do it, and we can help. Visit this website, findpeacewithgod.net. It's from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station. Is this you?
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California, where we are firing on all cylinders today. No reservation. We're going right into the heart of theology, right into the heart of soteriology, right in the heart of justification, sanctification, glorification, understanding that salvation is, in fact, something that God initiates. As John 15:16 says, Jesus said, I chose you, you did not choose me. And also that it comes through this system that God has created, a system of imputed righteousness that's given to us more as a grant than a loan. And it is a gift from God, something that nobody can boast about before God. And never forget 1 Corinthians 1:29, no flesh shall glory in his presence. So that's kind of every time you're trying to figure stuff out, you can use that passage to pretty much gauge you all the way through. Whatever you do or don't do, you're never going to dance a dance and drop a microphone before God. Okay? I mean, it makes it easy. He is always the superstar in each and every of one of those things. Now, having said all of that and recognizing salvation, fantastic. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. This not from yourselves is the gift from God, not of works, so no one can boast. We're going to look at something we do that's goofy. And we do have a sound, so we're going to play the sound, and I'm going to show you what the complication is. Let's have the sound. And you're thinking, well, how could that possibly have anything to do with salvation? Why would you even ask me how could that have something to do with salvation? I'm going to tell you exactly how it has to do with salvation. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Well, yes, it does. Watch. You foolish Galatians. Didn't Paul read Jesus' writing about not calling somebody a fool? Not the same word. Who has bewitched you before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish after beginning by means of the Spirit? Are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? What's the problem here? The problem is that you and I are just absolutely fantastical at taking things that are simple and making them as complex and messed up as is possible. We can take the simplest concept of a man or a woman and get so warped and sinful in our thinking that now we can't tell the difference between a man and a woman. I mean, that's as bad as the movie Howard the Duck. It's just bad, right? Galatians 3, 1 through 3 talks about God giving and granting us salvation using the Lord Jesus Christ coming through the power of the Holy Spirit. God's working in our lives, doing great things, and then all of a sudden, we need to help. It's not enough that God started this process. He needs a little help in this salvation process. So we inspect our lives and think, I gotta do some of this. I gotta do some of this. I gotta do some of this. And we become then the inspectors of our own salvation, which is hilarious because we don't know that everything's progressing on time, going the way it's supposed to go, being the way it's supposed to be. And we do what is called the altar take back. Do you know what the altar take back is? That's when you come to church and they say, do you have a sin you're struggling with? Do you have something really tough you're struggling with? Write it down on a piece of paper. And then you write it down on a piece of paper. And then the pastor says, or the music director, or the worship leader says, come on and bring that paper up to the front here. Bring it up to the stage and lay that paper at the cross or at the sign or at the stage. Lay it down and then go back to your seat. Like a symbolic way of giving that problem over to God. And that's a fantastic thing, except for about 90% of us go up with that piece of paper, and with our right hand, we put that piece of paper down on the altar, and then we turn around, and with our left hand, we grab it and put it in our back pocket as we're going back to the seat. Why? Because we need to have a sense of control. It's the altar take back. And what happens is because we want to control and we look at our salvation and we don't think we're maybe where we should be, then we start thinking there's things that we think we should add and we think I should be working on A, B, C, D, and E, not considering that God might just be working on A. But, you know, it's not moving fast enough. And if you're looking for a Christian example, I can give you 100, but there's no better example than the father of our faith. Who's the father in our faith from the Old Testament point of view and from Galatians chapter 3 and 4 and from Romans chapter 4 and 5? Abraham is the great father of our faith. He was the first one to believe in Genesis 15:6. He believed and it was counted him for righteousness. And then the next covenant God made with him had to do with sonship and having children, right? In that covenant, God wasn't moving fast enough. The process wasn't moving fast enough. So what did Abraham and Sarah do? What'd they do? Sarah goes, go sleep with my slave woman, Hagar. You sleep with her and you have a kid by her because God obviously is not going to answer this the way we want him to answer this. So let's get this program going. And they create their own answer to God's promise. His name is Ishmael. And then Ishmael becomes a pain for the rest of all of Abraham's heirs and to some degree still today. The point is that we try and help God out. We try and do things that will tell God, we're going to help you along because you're not doing this fast enough. And you need our help. And this is what happens when you look at your salvation and you look at your walk and you don't think you're in the right place based on your inspection. And then you start to add things into your walk that you think will make a difference. As though you and I could make our walk better than God can make it. You see, if he started this process and he finishes this process, we need to participate in this process, but we don't need to be the directors in this process. When the Lord is working on you to reflect Jesus Christ, he doesn't need your input as to what you need work on. I know it's fantastic to believe, but God knows what you need to work on next more than you do. I know it's amazing, isn't it? Yet, when it comes to salvation in Galatians 3, 1 through 3, we start off our salvation trusting in the Lord, beginning in the Spirit, walking it with God, and then we decide, well, it needs some help. Now, for some people, that could be, you know, extra Bible studies or church services, and for some people, that could be, you know, different disciplines, whatever the case may be. That's not the point I'm trying to make. I'm trying to make the point that we think that we are qualified enough to pick up that which God has started and help him finish. That's true in salvation, and that's true in a thousand other areas. But let's just keep it at salvation. I think you'll understand it spreads out to other things. Here's the reality. Our Christian progress, our salvation, the working of God in our lives is God's work. We are his masterpiece. He is the one that paints. He is the one that works. He is the one that's teaching you. And when you look at yourself and you compare yourself to other Christians, and Tugboat Todd and I just talked about this recently, and you realize that you're not at the place that that other person is, and then you start feeling bad about yourself, and then you start thinking you need to do other things to get your faith to better places, that's all fantastic, but it's all in the flesh. Every one of those. What we need to do is be doing what God wants us to do. What we need to do is be connecting to what the Lord is working on. Let's say God is working in your life right now, and in his working in your life, he wants you to have more faith. But you think you need to work on a different aspect of your character, and you start working on that other aspect of your character. Who's right, and who should you be following? It's not... You get into stuff like this. I have added to my Christianity 1,000 things that God wasn't doing. You want to know about a funny thing about those 1,000 things I've tried to add? Every one of them is by the wayside. Everything that I thought I needed to do that God wasn't doing has dropped off. And everything that God is doing is still working and processing in my life. What's the whole point? The whole point is stop. Stop it. You didn't start it. You're not going to finish it. You didn't create the origin of it. You're not going to take it over and complete it. This is a trusting God in the beginning, in the middle, in the end, and all the way through. You don't have to pass your inspection because fortunately, you're God's project and you're not the project manager of God's project. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. You're going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere. This could happen to me.
was an upright man. Thought I made a stand.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Before you tell others about Christ, let them see how much you care.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Dave Brannan. Dave writes, I stood before the gathering in a small Jamaican church and said in my best local dialect, Wagwan, Jamaica. The reaction was better than I expected, as smiles and applause greeted me. In reality, all I had said was the standard greeting, what's going on in Patois? But to their ears I was saying, I care enough to speak your language. Of course, I didn't yet know enough Patois to continue, but a door had been opened. Dave continues, when the Apostle Paul stood before the people of Athens, he let them know that he knew their culture. He told them that he had noticed their altar to an unknown God, and he quoted one of their poets. Of course, not everyone believed Paul's message about Jesus' resurrection, but some said, we want to hear you again on this subject. As we interact with others about Jesus and the salvation he offers, the lessons of Scripture show us to invest ourselves in others, to learn their language, as it were, as a way to open the door to telling them the good news. As we find out Wagwan in others' lives, it will be easier to share what God has done in ours. We hope these daily programs inspire you to go deeper in studying God's Word. For additional resources and encouragement, download the Our Daily Bread ebook and mobile app. Prefer a print copy? We'll gladly send one your way for no cost or obligation. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Come to me, to my arms, leave my world when I say I'll never let you go.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Excellent play by Tugboat Todd in relationship to what we've been talking about. Perfect timing on that song. In regards to our salvation, we talked about a couple of things. I'm going to simplify the whole process because I don't want to lose you in this. I can go super deep in the weeds. I'm trying to pull it back a little. We talked about the fact that our salvation starts off by the Lord. John 15:16, Jesus said, I chose you, you did not choose me. We talked about the realities that God's process of system is that salvation is a gift, imputed righteousness given as a gift. So nobody can boast before the Lord. It's not something that you can earn or that you deserve. It's something that he grants and gives and you receive. And what we talked about in the very last segment is that sometimes in that process, we feel as though we need to take over because maybe we're not Jesus enough. Now, that's very true that there are times in your walk where it'll be the Holy Spirit that's challenging you to be more Christ-like. Not an issue. But you are not at the core of your salvation if God is the author. And the Scripture says that he's the author and finisher of your salvation. You think, well, then I could never deserve this. I'm just getting this like as a free gift, like gratis. Exactly. But what happens is that sometimes we'll feel guilty and we feel we should do more. And that guilty part is wonderful for the devil to exploit in your life and make you feel like garbage by being a Christian, which at the same time, you should feel like the most privileged person on the planet, which is funny, right? You should feel super privileged. The devil makes you feel like garbage. Interesting. So what I want to do is I want to wind it into this one passage, which you know, and you know it well, but in relationship to the previous three segments, understanding it in lieu of our salvation and the progress we make in the Lord. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. There is actually some debate as to what the day of Christ means, because some people believe that's the second coming. Some people believe that's individual termination of people's lives. Some people think in these different realms. Does that really matter? Do you care? It's like, well, it means this. It means this. Hey, I think you can figure out the day of Christ Jesus, or the day of Jesus Christ is the end. I think this is where theology takes a breakdown, not up. It's like, dude, it means the end. Okay, got it. So don't make it more complex. But what the commitment is that Paul's communicating through the Holy Spirit is you get to have a confidence. What is that confidence? That God started this thing in you and God's the one to complete it. God hasn't forgotten you. You're not on a shelf. He didn't misplace you. You're not like one of the gold coins that fell underneath the blanket. Right? You're not your keys inside your house.
Oh, where'd I put those things?
It's like, right? That is not you. We're talking about God, and he's the author and finisher. And we've mentioned this before, a finisher, and I think talking about Todd really like this, is that's a closer in baseball. We know that. That's the person you bring in. It's like, that'll be that, right? Here's a guy's going to shut her all down. Because that's what a finisher does. That's what a closer does. Well, Jesus is your closer. And so he began this process with you. He's working in you. He's going to keep on working in you. And you can be absolutely confident that God's at work. Do you always understand all the work that he's doing in your life? Are you serious? I don't even understand all the things that I eat. Yet, I still eat. You understand? Sometimes they put stuff in front of you. You go, I don't know what it is, but it's in a sauce. Okay. Here's the bottom line. You can be confident that he which began a good work in you will carry it on till completion, which simply means God's not going to start the building process and stop. In fact, one of the illustrations Jesus gave was the foolishness of a builder who didn't count the cost of making a building. And Jesus talks about the fact that he pours into the building and then has to stop because he's out of funds and he can't do any more. And then people mock and laugh at him because there's just a half a building, right? That's pretty funny, but it's an excellent illustration of how people think God does it too. It's like, God's not a builder who does. It's not like he's got blueprints, but, well, I don't have enough funding. We're talking about God. I'm going to go out on a limb. He's more than capable of finishing that which he has started in your life. It's when you and I believe that, that maybe, watch this, we have a little bit more peace and rest in regards to our salvation and a little less freaking out. I don't know all the things that are going to take place in society. Certainly doesn't look fantastic on a global scale for Christians. Definitely Christian persecution has been on the increase. That doesn't stop anything. God is still at work in my life. I can hear bad news. I can watch dumb shows and do all that stuff. God's not done working on me. And I'm not going to sit there and think he's done working on me. And quite frankly, for some of you, God's not done using you. And you got to get out of that I'm on the shelf mentality, because the Lord never said, get on the shelf. I have seen that never. And that is scripturally testified virtually nowhere. The Lord is continuing the work, and you are the work. And you're an eternal work that he is coordinating. Have confidence. Confidence that he will continue that which he started. And why did he start it? Because he chose you and he loved you. And you don't need more than that. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break. Then we'll be back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Well, there is one who is faithful and true. He's a prince, he's a warrior, and brings life into you. He hates the hungry giant. He hates the hungry giant.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches?